Hey, hey, you're listening to Stop the Scroll, a social media marketing podcast, and I'm your host, Heidi Schmidt. I'm a social media strategist and agency owner with over 15 years of marketing experiences helping businesses grow online. We'll be diving into what you need to know so that you can show up confidently online without the overwhelm. Get your notebook ready to jot down some amazing marketing gems and let's dive into it. Welcome, welcome everyone to my first episode of Stop the Scroll. I'm really excited to be here. I want to take a second to introduce myself. I'm going to kind of talk a little bit about like why I'm doing a podcast as a social media strategist, and then a little bit of like what to expect in the episodes to come. So I'm Heidi. For those of you who don't know me, I am a longtime marketer, mostly content marketing, social media strategy. You can find my resume on LinkedIn if you want. I don't need to go down the rundown, but I will tell you that I've been in marketing for more than a decade, almost two decades, and I've seen the evolution of social media, of content marketing, and I've always considered myself an early adopter. My content creation roots go so deep. Like, think back to the OG days of blogging. I don't know if any of you were on LiveJournal, but I was documenting all of the shenanigans. I'm pretty sure I deleted that whole thing in 2007. But either way, like, that's where my content creation habits come from. And that's where my content creation passion also comes from. So I've always been passionate about social media. It's a connector. It's a community builder, more so than anything else that it does for businesses, for content creators. Like, it creates communities. And it is such a great way to build connections. That's what I use it for. You know, aside from owning an agency and promoting businesses on it, like, first and foremost, I use it to find communities because it's hard, especially when you're an adult trying to make friends. Like, where do you find friends? Where do you find networking opportunities? How did we do all this before the internet? Honestly. Anyhow, you know, when you think about your personal use of social media, think about it from that realm. And I have a funny story about this is the impact of social media that it's had on my life. Like, long, long time ago, I had a pen pal in elementary school. We wrote to each other probably up until high school, like snail mail letters that somewhere I probably still have most of them in my mother's basement. Actually, no, not in my mother's basement. I'm pretty sure they were all eaten by mice, but I had them for the longest time in a box somewhere. I think my mom gave me that box. I don't even know. But 20 years later, she got in touch with me. She found me through, I don't even know. I think it was like classmates.com, but then we connected on Facebook and we still wish each other happy birthdays. Like, we're still cheering each other on even 20, almost 30 years later, probably actually 30 years later, because we're 40 now. So when you think about the connections that social media has the opportunity to build, like, they're huge. They're really, really huge. So what do I do now? So how have I made social media my career? Because I feel like a lot of people do this and there's kind of a mixed bag in the social media space. Let's be honest. I run a boutique social media agency. I work with mostly small women-owned service providers, and I help them show up consistently and authentically. Listen, if you're a business owner, social media is a time suck. I'm a social media manager, and it's a time suck for me. And I help other people with my team. I have a team of content creators, and we help these business owners show up because they know how important social media is. But that being said, not everyone can afford to outsource their social media. Not everyone wants to. Not everyone wants to. Some people are really passionate about doing it themselves. However, they don't have the bandwidth. They don't have the know-how. They feel like they're just spinning their wheels. So I created a podcast because I want to share my expertise, my, you know, almost 20 years in the marketing space with other people who might benefit. I help these early entrepreneurs get clarity on their audience and their content and best practices and do a little bit of that with consistent guidance. But like I said, not everyone is in a position to outsource their marketing. Let's be honest. And not everyone is my client. But the more people that I can help through my content, and this has always kind of been my passion for content, whether it's long form, whether it's short form. And we can kind of talk about the difference between long form and short form in a few minutes. That's why I wanted to do a podcast. So why a podcast? Well, I'm really passionate, like I said, about creating content, about educating other people. It is so beneficial for any business. And not every business is going to have a podcast. I do not recommend that. I do not recommend that every business be on YouTube or have a blog. Having some form of longer form content out there, not just your social media content, is so, so beneficial. From SEO to building that thought leadership, benefits of repurposing to your social media. And, you know, I look forward to chatting a lot about repurposing content because I have clients that like, they don't have much going on. So every month it's like pulling content out of our butts. Like, what are we going to post about? Well, what can we repurpose? What's going on in the industry that we can kind of give our spin to? So I've gone back and forth about, should I do YouTube? You know, there are lots of social media influencers that I follow that do YouTube, coaches that I've worked with that fully recommend YouTube, like get the heck off Instagram and TikTok and just go all in on YouTube. You might see me show up on YouTube. You might see me repurpose this. We'll see. But I feel like there's just an authenticity to a podcast. There's an authenticity to just acting like I'm chatting across from a friend, but there is an authenticity from any form of long form content. And you can have SEO rich content that still feels authentic, but having that back and forth conversation on a podcast or sitting down like I'm having coffee with a friend on a podcast that you just don't get from a blog. I'm all about authentic content. And I really wanted to just try something new. YouTube felt overwhelming for me, let's be honest. And I'm sure we'll talk more about YouTube on here, bringing on some experts, hopefully, to share back and forth on best practices. And I'm really, really excited to show up in new places. You know, like blogging, I am all about blogging, especially for those of you who love to write, who have those words that you want to put out, who don't necessarily want to show up. But for me, like, I wanted to try something new. I wanted a new challenge. I'm excited to be here. So as I mentioned, I'm really excited to bring on other industry experts, other businesses who are just really killing it on social media. You know, we follow other industry professionals in our industries and we're like, wow. I don't know if y'all are like me and y'all get like imposter syndrome. That's its own battle. I was talking in a masterclass earlier this week about how it's really hard to get over that hump when you're, you know, a social media manager. And I recently hit 1,000 followers and it took me almost 4 years to get there. And now granted, I'm going to be the first to admit that I do not consistently post for myself. I put all of my effort into my client work. That is where I am. That is my passion. My values really value creativity and authenticity, integrity, and, you know, excellence. And I show up for my clients and I commit to doing the best that I can for them. If that's at the expense of my own social media presence, then so be it. Like, that's just me. I mean, I want to know how social media managers who get clients from social media actually get them because recently I have started to kind of get inquiries from Instagram because I've been showing up more on Instagram, but it took 3.5 years to really get leads from Instagram. So I'm really excited to talk with people who are battling that internal battle also. Like, how do you get over that imposter syndrome from showing up on social media and seeing like, oh, I've got like 5 likes, but you know, the competitor down the street or across town or the industry leader in my niche/industry gets 100 likes. And what's the difference? How do you stop comparing yourself on social media? Because it is a struggle. Let's acknowledge the struggle of not comparing ourselves on social media. There is an audience for everyone. You only need one person. I heard that on a podcast recently, like you only need one. You only need one person to follow you and one person to buy from you. So stop comparing yourself. But I'm excited to bring on other businesses who I think are doing amazing work on social media, who are showing up super well, killing it with best practices, all that fun stuff. I am excited to bring on people who build communities on social media and who that's, you know, a core part of their business. I think that's amazing because really that's what social media is all about. It's all about the community building. And let's call it what it is. Like, social media is rented space. It is rented space, my friends. And when we don't acknowledge that in our marketing, or when we fully just go all in on social media and ignore the other parts of marketing, whether that's networking, whether that's email, whether that's long form SEO content, when we ignore those other parts and just say social media is my marketing, like you are marketing yourself on rented space. You do not control who sees you, how frequently they see you, or what percentage of your audience sees you. Like you have no control over that versus email marketing. And we'll talk about that in a future episode because I think email marketing is the shizzle and more people need to be doing it. I probably need to be doing it more, but that's neither here nor there. Neither here nor there. Anyhow, answering the questions that I hear from my clients and my network all the time, like how the heck do we win on social media? How do we win? How do we win? Because like I said, it's rented space. We don't have a say in how we show up, when we show up, who sees our content, who finds out about, you know, the great event that we have or the great product or the great new workshop that we're leading, whatever it is that you're promoting. If you're just promoting that on social media, like if you have 1,000 followers, maybe 100 of them are going to see it, maybe 200. Let's say 200 to 250. Like that's a 25% reach. And if we send an email, everyone sees it. Everyone on your list. Like if you have a 1,000 person list and you get consistently a 40 to 60% open rate, like that's more people than are probably going to see that one social media post or that one reel or that one TikTok, whatever you're, wherever you're pushing out your stuff. So ultimately though, despite it being rented space and despite us not having any control over who sees what, when, where, it's not really rocket science. And I say that because it's all about authenticity. And that authenticity is what breeds engagement, and engagement breeds growth. We know this. It's not rocket science. But it does also take consistency. It takes sharing valuable content. You know, I told a client last month, she's been feeling really like her organic growth has been literally snail's pace. And we're doing all the right things. We're going in, we're doing engagement, we're doing all the right things. But I was like, when you peel back the layers of the marketing metrics onion and look at it from a 360-degree view or a 10,000-foot view, whatever you want to call it, like she had grown 50% since I had started working with her. So like we've grown, it just takes time. And that slow growth, that slow organic growth should be celebrated. And I tell all of my clients that like these are followers that you're getting that you're not paying for. You don't have to pay for them. Like that's a win right there. Let's celebrate those wins. Those new followers who are coming into your orbit, let's celebrate them. So showing up consistently, even if it's messy. And I show up messy all the time. I don't know. Half the time my hair is like in a messy ponytail and I've got baby fuzz, like 40-year-old mom hair sticking up all over the place. Because frizzy Maryland hair is just great. But when you show up messy, that's the authentic stuff. And that's where you start winning, especially if you know who you're talking to. So like if you, you know, one of the first things that I always talk to my clients about, and we'll dive into this in a future episode also, is how to know who your audience is and why it's so flipping important. I have had clients tell me, well, I'll take anyone. And it's like, no, that doesn't work. Because if you're trying to market to everyone, you are marketing to no one. Your messaging will not resonate. If your messaging is unclear, if you don't know who really benefits and values what you have to offer, whether you're a service provider, whether you have a product, like who are you marketing to? Because it's not everyone. It's not. You know, I had someone reach out to me that was an HVAC company and he wasn't really my ideal audience. And I was not sad that he moved on. Social media is really hard to put an ROI on. It's really, really hard. And we'll talk more about this also. Sometimes you can attribute sales and leads to social media. Sometimes there are certainly ways, and that's a deep dive into analytics. And each client is different. But if you say, well, I need X number of clients per month to make this engagement worth it, you do not value social media. You do not value it in terms of your marketing and how beneficial it is to building that brand awareness. You can't really put a price tag on growing your audience by 10, 20, 40%, you know, whatever it is year over year, you can't put a price tag on that. Anyhow, off on a tangent. So why stop the scroll? Why did I name it that? Because that's the point of social media, right? Stopping the scroll is when you get the attention. That's when you get the person. That's when you get the new follower. That's when you get the like, you get the engagement. You want to stop the scrollers, the never-ending Instagram scrollers. You know who you are. I'm one of them. and hopefully convert them as followers and eventually, hopefully, customers. But what sets your content apart? And so what we're going to be covering in this podcast in the weeks and months to come is what sets your content apart? How do you create that engaging content that stops the scroll? How do you beat the algorithms? Because how do you get more eyeballs on your content? Ultimately, that's what we all want, right? What's trending? What's the difference between content formats? Is there a difference? What part of the social media funnel do they all help? Because, you know, carousels are different from reels, are different from static posts, you know, like each of them kind of has different types of engagement. So how do you know which is the best for your audience? And at what point, you know, if you're like, hey, I've got great followers, but I want to up my engagement, what's the best type of content to post? We'll talk about that. How do you save time creating content? Because so many people talk to me like, God, all I do is create content. Literally, how do you save time? What is batching? How do you batch your content? How do you plan for content when things just keep popping up? And how do you repurpose your content? How do you know which content to repurpose? Like, do you repurpose the best content? Do you repurpose the worst content and maybe switch it up a little bit? Tweak the copy or the image or whatever needs to be tweaked, but how do you effectively repurpose your content? Because for me, I am all about on social media working smarter, not harder. You can repurpose things. You can use the same caption and change up the image. Who's going to know? The average social media post has a lifespan of probably less than 12 hours, if that. People aren't going to remember. I have a client who all the time, like, I talk about repurposing because she doesn't have a lot going on and I love her. But she's like, I feel like we just posted that. And I'm like, homegirl, we posted that like 6 months ago. People are not going to remember. People aren't going to remember. And also your entire audience didn't see that post. Like, you know, maybe 400 people saw it and you have an audience now of almost 2,000. So new people are going to see it. And that's why we repurpose things, because not everyone sees it the first time around. And if it's good content, if it got great engagement, then yeah, you want to be repurposing that. How do you build a community? How do you show up authentically? What does authentic content look like? I can tell you one thing, it's not AI driven. And I will also be talking about AI and how to effectively use AI in your content creation. If you want to use it in your marketing, I sometimes do, very rarely. It's usually a starting point like, I'm stuck. I need to write a post about this. And what the heck do I write? Or, hey, help me outline this blog post and I'll add in the intro and add in some stats and links. And that's what AI is good for. But there's definitely, you know, I was talking with someone today and there are some plagiarism concerns. There's all sorts of ethics involved. So be cautious with AI. We're gonna talk about that one too. And then obviously, you know, sharing the latest and greatest in the social media world, because we all want to stay on top of those best practices and how do we really win on social media. So that's me. I am Heidi, your host. Please, please, please leave me a review. Go ahead and like and follow our podcast. Follow me on Instagram at Heidi Schmidt Creative. Drop me a comment. I read everything. If there's something that you want to hear about, please, please, please send me a message. I am looking for ideas. If you would like to be on the show, if you have something to talk about with social media, I would love to interview you. So that's where we're going to leave this first episode. Thank you so much for listening and tune in next week for another episode of Stop the Scroll. Talk to you later.